Our scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I think we prayed already for that, so let's just go to that passage. Page 1506, I believe, or 1505, whatever, in the Pew Bibles. So this is God's word to us. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the road, and wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This is God's word to us this morning. So I'd like to begin with a poem. It's a poem by Robert Frost, which I first read when I was in college, and it's kind of stuck with me the rest of my life, really. It's called The Road Not Taken, so I'd like to read that for you. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. But be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps a better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though, as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I marked the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I would ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. That's a poem by Robert Frost. So the choice we make, or the choices, make all the difference. Think about some of the choices you've made in your life. What if you chosen something else? You know, we sometimes do that. What if? But the ones you chose made all the difference. Like, for example, a spouse. I think about that. Could have chosen someone else. But I got Wilma, and I'm so glad that I did. It made all the difference for me. I could have a career. We think about that. I was supposed to take over my dad's dairy farm, right? But I chose ministry. And really, I've never regretted it. When I was in Pinoca, I did some milking again, and I certainly didn't regret it. Although I enjoyed the milking, but Frost says the path we take makes all the difference. And our passage that we have read today tells us it makes a difference between destruction or ruin or perishing or death and life. So we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We have come to the concluding section of the Sermon on the Mount. This is not the concluding sermon on it, but the concluding section, which has four warnings or choices that we make. Here in our passage is about the gate or the road. Then we have prophets or leaders, you know, be careful which one you choose to follow. And it describes it in terms of trees which bear fruit. And then it's one about the disciples really doing God's will or not. And then finally, it's about where you build. Is it on sand or is it on rock? So, it's a sermon, right? The Sermon on the Mount. This is a sermon that Jesus is preaching. We're not sure if he preached it all at the same time, but that's the way it's portrayed. And it ends up being an evangelistic sermon. That's what it's ending up to be. Jesus is pushing us to make a choice. Which gate, which door will you go through? And once you make that choice, then which way will you walk on? Will you take the one that leads to destruction or the one that leads to life? The choice you choose makes all the difference. I want to recap this Sermon on the Mount a little bit. So it began, if you remember, with the Beatitudes. And there the Beatitudes told us who we are. If we're believers, if we have God in our life, Jesus in our life, then we are this. We are poor in spirit. We are people who mourn. We are meek. We are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We are merciful. We are pure in heart. We are peacemakers, and we are persecuted. That's who we are as disciples of Jesus. I know we don't all live up to that fully, but that's who we are. And then it began a section on how to live in relationship with people, kind of the second part of the Ten Commandments, love your neighbor, right? And then after that, we began a section on spiritual disciplines like fasting and prayer and giving, those kind of things. And that was really about living in a relationship with God. Love God, the Lord your God. And then in chapter 7, it gave us some warnings about judging, about prayer, the golden rule. And now here we are. Who will we choose? Who will we follow? Make the choice. Which gate? Which road? I don't know if you noticed when I read that passage, it says that few will find the small gate. Few will find it. Why is a small gate so hard to find? Well, it's small. I guess that's obvious in a way. It's a small gate. It's hard to see. But in a way, it's very simple. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. That's it. That's all you have to do. It's very simple. But in some ways, I think, especially in our culture, you believe in Jesus? That's foolish. There's a foolishness to it, which makes it somewhat difficult because, you know, we like to be liked by the rest of the world, but we're following this Jesus rather than all the other things. So it's kind of hard to find. Not only is it hard to choose Christ, it's also hard to live as a Christian. If somebody tells you, you become a Christian, now it's all easy. No, it's tough. It's tough. It's very difficult, the life of discipleship. Especially when you consider some of those qualities in the Beatitudes. I mean, really? You want to be meek? Is that what you want to be? You know, those are hard to live up to. We wrestle with them, at least I do. And yet it makes all the difference between destruction and life. It's easy to have a chocolate bar, harder to take that broccoli, isn't it? But let me suggest another reason why it's so hard to find and so few find it. So we're talking kind of, you know, you go through a gate and down the road, and it's like the journey of life. And so we're walking down the journey of life, and we're carrying with us all the things of life. We're going with all the things that are important to us, that are valuable to us. We want to take them along. So you take your possessions, your money, your car, your house, your toys, your favorite chair, your wealth. But you also take along all the worries and anxieties and troubles and responsibilities. I think we talked a few weeks ago about, you know, don't worry, that passage there. But we take those along. We take along the hurts and pains and maybe the unforgiveness and bitterness that we have. And we take along all the things we enjoy, like travel and luxuries and parties and food, like chocolate bars. We take all those things along, all the stuff of life. I remember when I was a young man, I left home. I was single. All I had was a backpack in the back seat of stuff with me in my car. That's all I had. Then I got married, and I acquired a wife. That doesn't sound right, does it? Acquired a wife. But There's more stuff. I remember when we moved to Grand Rapids to go to seminary, my dad had a little U-Haul trailer behind his pickup truck, and away we went. When we left Grand Rapids, we had a few more kids, and it was in a U-Haul truck. And when I came here, it was a tractor trailer of stuff. You know, we just gather all this stuff. And can you see what happens? We got it all. You can't see because you've got all this stuff around you, right? But, there's the wide road, because you can kind of see that because it's so wide. And so we start going down that road, right? We go down that wide road, broad road, just like a tractor trailer with three trailers behind, like on Highway 2 sometimes. And we can't see the small gate because of all our stuff, but we can see the wide gate. And we go down that wide road, and pretty soon it gets pretty heavy, all that stuff, right? You got to take care of it. You get tired. You get exhausted. And pretty soon you fall down or break down or bang into somebody else on that busy road, and you're crushed under all that stuff, like a huge accident on the freeway. And you stop, and you are dead, destroyed. And you've not gone very far. There's another thing about the small gate. It's narrow. It's small and it's narrow. Actually, the Greek word there for narrow, it can also mean compressed. It is so small that you've got to squeeze through it to get through. Jesus uses another image in Matthew 19. Again, I tell you, he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now that's hyperbole, right? It's an exaggeration, but he's saying it's easier. Can you imagine that? A camel going through the eye of a needle. It's easier for the camel than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You got to squeeze through. So not only is it hard to find that small gate because of all our stuff, when we arrive with all our stuff, our load, you cannot get through it. It's too small. It's too narrow. You've got to let go of all that stuff so you can get through the small gate. In other words, you have to die to yourself. Jesus says in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. You have to let go of everything and go through. Now, can you imagine you've been carrying all that stuff? It's heavy. And then let it go. The burden is gone, your hands are free, you are free, free of guilt, free of doing it yourself, free of slavery to all the stuff and sin, you're free. And then you can walk down that road light as a feather and you can go on forever. Eternal life. The small gate, the narrow path leads us to life because it gets rid of all those things. All those burdens, all those roads. And the gate is Jesus. That's the gate. The only way to get to the Father, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. And you must drop all your stuff. Leave it at the feet of Jesus, and then you go through free. You go through free. Jesus said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus takes it from us and we are free to journey to life. But it's hard to let go of all that stuff, isn't it? It's hard. The Bible talks about it as dying to ourselves. That's how it talks about it. To let go of ourself, to forgo our pride, to admit we are sinners, to admit that we need God, to stop depending on all our securities and insurances and treasures, and to depend on God. But it makes all the difference. For then we come to life through Jesus. I was thinking about this. I'm no expert on getting older, although I just turned 65, so I guess I'm becoming an expert. But, you know, I wonder if part of aging, as we get older, I know the younger ones here probably don't experience that yet, but part of aging is to strip us of all that load so that we can enter the small gate, the narrow road. We lose our abilities. We lose some of our things, even our possessions. You know, you have moved to a smaller place and a smaller place, and you lose all that stuff. We are stripped down to very little, perhaps so that we can see and find the small gate. The small gate. So that we can let go of it all and enter through it and so find life. Two roads diverged in a wood. There's a wide, broad one, and there's a small, narrow one. I took the one less traveled by, the small one, and that gate is Jesus. I laid my stuff down, my load down there, and entered, and that has made all the difference. And Jesus is calling you, us, to do the same, to choose the small gate, to choose Jesus, to choose the narrow road, the way of discipleship. Your choice makes all the difference. So choose. Amen. Let's pray. So Jesus, you lay before us this choice. It seems really easy. One leads to destruction, one to life. Of course, we're going to choose the one that gives us life. But like the kids at first, I'll take the chocolate bar. It's hard. It's really hard for us, Lord. And so I pray that you will help us to choose you, to set aside all those other things that we carry with us, that we have learned to or started to trust in, the baggage that weighs us down, and to go to you. Help us to do that so that we may find life. And Lord God, thank you for life, for that small gate and that narrow road that leads to life. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus and what he has done for us to make it possible for us to have life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.